Good morning. There we go. Good morning, everyone. Come on back in and get situated. Bring your coffee, bring your pastry, be comfortable. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to drink my water. Happy Groundhog Day. Who believes that? I think he saw his shadow, so 6 more weeks of winter, but I don't know. That's what? Feels like it. Cold, a little chilly. That worship was incredible today. Awesome. I love our team, and I thank our team so much for all that they put into not putting on a show for us, but leading us into the presence of Jesus. That's awesome. So this week, what typically we have our Wednesday night Bible study, the Gospel of John, but it is the first Wednesday of the month. So what does that mean? Prayer night. So still come on Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. Come and pray. Come if you need prayer. It's a great time to be together with other people that are praying as we all come together. I want to tell you something this morning about God's love. And if you don't leave here today with anything else, nothing else, as you walk out the door this morning, hopefully at the end, hopefully not now, leave here knowing that God is a good God, that he loves you unconditionally. No one here on earth loves you like he loves you. You're not the exception to that. He loves you. You're his favorite. And as we launch into this brand new sermon series, and we're talking through the whole book of Jonah and learning so many things, but the most important thing for you to know is for you to walk out this door today knowing that our Heavenly Father loves you. Loves you. How many of you this morning would say, I want to hear from God? Everybody or almost everybody, that's great. You want God's will for your life, and that is great news. Great news. But I have a warning for you. When God speaks, he will often ask you to do something that you don't want to do. And we're going to see that in this series on Jonah. The next 4 weeks, counting this week, we're going to go through the whole book of Jonah. Did any of you start reading it after I mentioned? Oh, a few. That's good. Well, let's see. I think many people know, or I don't know if many is the right word. A lot of people know the basics of Jonah. Some of you might have learned the story as a child. Maybe some of you never heard of Jonah. That's okay. But here's the story from the Bible in a nutshell. God calls Jonah to preach the message to some people he doesn't want to go speak to. So he runs from God. He gets thrown overboard into the water. A fish swallows him up. Then the fish vomits him up. He preaches. They repent. And they live happily ever after. That's what most people know. Some of you are like, no. There's so much more to this story. There's layers and layers that I believe are going to speak to our everyday lives and inspire us to be closer to God and to really posture us and position us to be used by God. And so I want to build a foundation, and then we're going to start right in Jonah chapter 1 and go through the book. One chapter a week. So let's start with the basics. Who's the main character in the book of Jonah? And the answer is not Jonah. Good guess. That's what most people would guess. It's actually not Jonah. Jonah, the son of Amittai, is the only name mentioned in the book of Jonah anywhere. There's sailors and there's a captain, but they're not mentioned by their name. His is the only name, and yet he's not the main character. Some people might guess, well, then I guess it's the big fish, Kathy. Well, actually, in all four chapters of Jonah, there's only three verses that talk about the big fish. So if it's not Jonah, and it's not the big fish, who's the main character of the book of Jonah? It is, right, the Lord. God is the main character. And Jonah starts this way. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up. Or your phone. You have the Bible app on your phone. Jonah 1:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So how many of you know that our God is a God who speaks? Yes. In our Bible study on Wednesday nights, which has been so incredibly good, the Gospel of John, it starts this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. And our God is a God who speaks, and God is still speaking today to all of us. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and I believe that the word of the Lord is going to come to you. If you have ears to hear, I promise God is going to speak to you. God is going to direct your steps. And sometimes what God says to you, what he directs you to do, may not be something that you want to do. Last week, remember I talked about go clean your room? Stop stalling. Stop talking about it. Do what Jesus says to do. So Jonah 1:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God says, hey, Jonah, you're the prophet. Go do what prophets do. Go preach repentance to those evil people. Call them to turn to me because they have done horrible things. So, did Jonah go clean his room? No. If he had done what God told him to do, he could have gone, he could have preached, they would have turned to God. But he didn't do that. Instead, he did what I think a lot of us do. And verse 3 tells us this. God told him what to do, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah did not do what God asked him to do. He did his own thing. Anybody? Yeah. He ran away from the Lord. He didn't do what God asked him to do. He did his own thing. And he headed for Tarshish, and he went in what direction? Down. Right, down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And scripture says he ran from God. He actually went to great lengths to get away, extensive measures to go the opposite, to get away from God. And I want to show you on a map. I think we have a slide. If you look at Joppa down in the corner, God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was 550 miles to the east, and he didn't do that. Instead of going east, he went 2,500 miles all the way to Tarshish. Wow, huh? And that was a time in Jonah's life that he lived as far as possible from his God-given assignment. Scripture tells us that God told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah found a ship that was bound for Tarshish. So here's the principle in that. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to get away from God, I promise you, you can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. Jonah ran from God. He disobeyed God. God gave him assignment and he said, nope, I'm not going to do that. Just as clear as could be. But why? Why did he run from God? The reason is because God wanted him to go preach to the Ninevites, and he hated, and that's a strong word. He hated, he despised the Ninevites. Jonah was a Jewish Hebrew from Israel, and Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And the Syrians hated the Israelites. The Israelites hated the Assyrians. It was kind of like, you know, those of you that are maybe Star Wars fans, like the whole Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader type of thing. He despised these people, and he had a really good reason. And I'm going to explain some stuff, and it's kind of graphic, but it helps us to really understand why he hated them so much, and maybe why he was running away from God. These Assyrians, they were horrible. When they would go and conquer a city, they would sexually abuse the women. They would kill the children. They would take survivors. They would skin them alive. That's just gross. And they would bury them in the sand. And even after skinning them, they would pull their tongues out at times. And then they drive a stake through it and just let them just die this brutal death. And I know that's all gross. They tortured them. And Jonah said, I can't stand these people. Just like we would say, I can't stand these people. And the real reason he didn't go to them to have them turn to God wasn't because he was afraid of them. They were that evil. It was because he knew God's character, and he didn't want God to show favor and grace and actually forgive his enemies. Think about that. It helps us understand why he didn't want to go, and why sometimes we don't want to go, and why we don't want to forgive others. So Jonah, he runs away from God, and he rationalized his disobedience. Well, what does that mean, to rationalize sin? He probably thought something like this: hey, those people are so evil, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it, so I'm not doing it, God. When I say rationalize sin, it means when our minds make an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. When our minds make an excuse for something that God's word forbids, or we know in our spirit is wrong. And the reality is some of us right now, we're right there and we're rationalizing our sin. Maybe God asked you to do something. Like you were prompted to serve somewhere, or you were, you know, prompted to give something to someone, or to be a witness, or to forgive someone. That one usually hits us all. And you thought, I'm not ready for this. This isn't the best time, God. I don't feel like it yet. I'll do it later. God, you know what they did to me. You know how they have hurt me. And we're putting off what God is asking us to do. And I want to remind us all today that delayed obedience is disobedience. Those of you that are parents in the thick of it, some of you, you train your kids this way. One, stop it. Two, I said stop it. Three, right? Well, think about this. One, two, burn by a stove. One, run out on the street. They're waiting for three. They should obey on one. Not three, not 10, not 1,000. It's on one. And we need to stop on one. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And a lot of times I think when people think about spiritual maturity, what does it mean to be mature in your relationship with the Lord? And a lot of us, a lot of Christians think it's about Bible knowledge. And yes, we preach it all the time. It's so important to be in the Word, to know what the Word says. But it isn't just the knowledge. It's actually what you do with the knowledge. It's not how much you know. I would say it includes having a short time between God's commands and our obedience. That's maturity. That when God says something, we don't argue, we don't question. We obey when he prompts us to do something. And that is not easy for any of us. And so in Jonah, we see the word of the Lord come to Jonah, and Jonah ran away from God. And when he ran from God, do you think that his life got better? Or do you think it got worse? Once he started to run from God, his life went downhill. And I think it's really interesting when you read through this book of Jonah, we see two directions mentioned often. You're going to see up, arise, and go, and then you're going to see Jonah going down. Here's just three verses. Jonah 1:3, Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah 1:5, Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship. And then when we get to Jonah 2 next week, Jonah 2:3, Jonah was thrown down to the bottom of the sea. So as we read this whole book, we're seeing direction. God calls him up, but when he rebels, he goes down. And so that's what happens. That's what happens when we run from God. We go down, down, down. And then up is our main character. Who's the main character again? God, the Lord. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Who sent the storm? God sent the storm. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. So each called out to his own God. So these sailors, they don't worship the true God. They worship their own gods. And they took and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below. He went below the deck and he lay down and he fell asleep. A deep sleep, the Bible says. So there's a lot here. First of all, what's very interesting to me is that the sailors who were pagans, whenever they got afraid, they started praying. It's funny. I always think it's so interesting when people that don't believe in God get afraid and they start praying themselves, or better yet, they call you. Right? You try to talk to them about Jesus and they're, get away from me, you know, back off. I don't want to hear anything about it. But then as soon as the storms come, Kathy, would you pray for me? Mom, could you say a little prayer for me today? And that's what these sailors did. They're in this storm and they're like, God, wherever you are, we need your help. And notice the sailors in this, they hadn't done anything wrong. But yet they're in the middle of a storm because God sent a storm because of Jonah's rebellion. Think about that. The sailors were suffering because of a rebellious guy who was on the boat with them. Some of us might be struggling right now because we have the wrong friend in our boat. Maybe some of you, you've been dating Jonah. And any time you're dating someone who's running from God, you might find yourself in a little bit of a storm. You might have to throw that old boy off the boat. Some of you, you're like, well, I'm not dating Kathy. You might find yourself in a storm too, because you're following people that take you away from God. Anytime that you have a consistent voice in your life distracting you from the true vine, you might need to get that voice off your boat. Here we have these sailors. They're in the middle of a storm that they didn't cause. And their boat's about to break apart. And what's Jonah doing? Sleeping. Notice this, though. His life is going down. And he's asleep, not even noticing what's happening. That's a very scary place to be when you become comfortable disobeying God. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of us, like Jonah, at this point in our life, we're becoming more and more comfortable in our compromise. You're running away from God, you're ignoring God, and you don't even care. You have no idea that all around you, your life is starting to go down. And if you're someone that doesn't know God and you're disobeying him and you're running from him, from his voice, maybe you've just become spiritually complacent. I've got some really good news for you, but it's not going to really feel like good news. God won't let you get comfortable in your sin. He won't. He won't let us get comfortable in our compromise. He's going to either send or he'll allow some type of consequence to get our attention when we're running from God. And in this case, we read it was actually God who sent the storm. That might go against some of your theology. Does that mean God's a cruel God? Kathy, at the beginning, you told us God was loving, that he loved us. So why is he doing this? It was kindness that he sent the storm. Jonah was running away, and God sent a storm to try to bring him back. Sometimes God will send the storm. Sometimes God allows a storm. Sometimes the devil might send a storm. Sometimes, though, we actually bring the storm on ourselves. Sin always has consequences. Always. I know some people, some Christians who do the wrong thing and they end up in a bad place, and every single time they blame it on the devil. And I just want to tell you, the devil doesn't bring every single storm. Some storms we bring on ourselves. Oh, the devil took my job. No, you lost your job because you were late every single day. The devil just has me in so much debt. No, that was Amazon and your credit card. You did it. You did that yourself. The devil doesn't bring every single storm. Some of them we bring on ourselves. And in this case, God actually lovingly, in his grace, sent a storm. And we see that Jonah's life is going down, 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 and he didn't even notice because he was so comfortable in his compromise. In verse 8, it says, they ask him, like the sailors are like, hey, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble. We didn't do anything wrong. We got the wrong guy on the boat. Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and who made the dry land. It's almost funny that he says that. Everything's going wrong, and Jonah says, oh, I'm a Hebrew, and guess what? I worship the Lord. But he's not obeying the Lord. That might be one of the biggest problems in church today. Yes, our church. Me. You. We claim, yeah, 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 Jesus, Jesus, go, 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 Jesus. And yet, a lot of times, we're far from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah disobeyed the word of God. Enjoy church. What do? We're in community, right? We have life groups. I've been talking about our large Bible study that we have now on Wednesday nights. But even in that large Bible study, we break into small groups. We want people to be able to get to know each other because we are all better together. We don't try to fight alone. Two are better than one. If one falls down, who can help him up? If he's got a buddy, he can help him up. Iron sharpens iron. Where two or three gather together, we are people of community. And the question I want to ask, have you ask yourself, is this. And I'm asking myself too. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Where in your life are you doing something? If you slow down, slow down long enough to be honest, is it financially you're not honoring God? In your marriage, you're not treating your wife with respect, or you're dishonoring your husband? Kids, you're not obeying your mom and dad. Adult kids, you're not respecting your parents. Youth, you're like, oh yeah, I'm in youth group and I disobey my mom and dad all the time. You're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. Listening to music that you know is dishonoring to the Lord. That's just a few. A few samples. What is it for you? What area of your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? And here's the challenge. Here's the challenge for all of us. Talk about it with someone. Share it. Be vulnerable and pray about it. And then turn away from it. We're not going to claim to worship God and do whatever we want. Verse 11 says this, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked Jonah, what should we do to make this sea calm down? In other words, it's your fault. And what do we need to do about it? And listen to what Jonah says this. He says, hey guys, pick me up and throw me into the sea. And I think he's saying, in other words, I know this is my fault that God's bringing this judgment because of me. Just pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. It's like Jonah saying, my bad, guys, my bad. I brought this on. And how heartbreaking, how sad is this? I want us all to feel that sadness because I want to be able to say this lovingly and not harshly. This is where some of you are right now. Jonah was God's chosen prophet, and he's so far from God, so depressed that he doesn't care if he lives or dies. My fault, just throw me overboard. And heartbreaking because God chose Jonah. God called Jonah, and Jonah ran away from God, and his life went down, down, down. And I know that there is someone here, someone watching online too, probably, that God called you. You said yes. You trusted your life to him. You made him Lord, and you said, I want to please you, Lord, in all that I do. But then you've been running from him, doing your own thing. He said, go this way, and you said, I'm going that way. And you've been doing it for so long that you're comfortable in it. And maybe life is not going so well right now. Maybe you get mad at God. Maybe in your case, the devil didn't send the storm. Maybe you brought it on yourself. And you're stuck in a storm. We get there when we ignore God and we end up in a place that we never, ever wanted to be. Depressed, hopeless. We see no way out. We wonder, is life even worth it? And then we look for somebody to blame. Must be the sailors' fault. Must be the Ninevites' fault. Maybe it's God's fault. Could not, couldn't be my fault. Not me. When the word of the Lord came to us and when we went our own way and Jonah, comfortable in his compromise, loses all hope and says, throw me in. And the guys on the boat, like, it's crazy. Like, in modern terms, we'd say those sailors, they weren't Christians, but they were actually trying to do the right thing. Jonah, we would say in our modern day terms, oh, he was the Christian, and he was the one that was disobeying God. So we have these pagan sailors, and they don't want to do it. But when they get to the place where they feel like they have no choice, the storm has gotten worse. And finally, in verse 15, it says, they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. Now, just imagine this. The moment that they threw him overboard, the sea became calm. It went calm. And what did they do? These men. They started fearing the main character of our story. And when I say fear, they greatly feared. It's not like we're afraid of something. It's like this reverent fear. Like, oh, wow, I get it now. He is so powerful. They greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice. Like at that moment when we're choosing to serve and to worship him, they made vows to God. They looked on and they thought, any God who could do this is a God that we need to know and we want to worship. Any God that is that powerful is a God we want to surrender our lives to. If God has ever reached out to you, if the word of the Lord has ever come to you and you've just stepped away, I want to tell you today about the goodness of God. Our God is a refuge, and he's our strength. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. His name is a strong fortress, and the righteous run to it, and they're kept safe. Our God gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Our God is a compassionate God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Our God is a generous God who meets all of your needs according to the glorious riches found in Christ Jesus. Our God is a good God, and he does have an enemy, Satan, the liar, the thief, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our God sent his son, whose name is Jesus, who came that we may have life and have life to the fullest. And when you seek God, when you call on him, you will find him. He is a good God who will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And a God like this is a God we want to know. He's a God we want to worship. He's a God worthy of our reverence. He's holy. He's not some Santa Claus in the sky. He's God. He's the Lord of all. The word of the Lord comes and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am. May it be done unto me according to your word. A God like that is a God we want to give our lives to honor and worship and fear and trust and obey and surrender. If the worship team would please come. And I get ready to close. So Jonah, back to Jonah. So he's overboard. He's in the water. Doesn't have a life jacket. There's no little boats coming his way. And it looks like game over. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200, right? Why? Because the word of the Lord came to him and he ran away. Luke 6:46 says this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The word of the Lord is coming to you. God is a loving God. God is a God who speaks. God is going to speak to you. And so I would ask you again, in what area of your life, where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? I want us to be in a place, to get into a place where we're willing to acknowledge it, to confess it, and then to turn from it. If you're someone that has never known God, never. Turn to him. Call out to him today. Try it. Just ask him. If you're there, God, reveal yourself to me. And then let me tell you, buckle up your seatbelt.
Amen.
And if you've strayed from God, stop running from him. Turn back to him. He loves you and he's ready to receive you. Maybe you know God and you love God, but you've just kind of drifted. And you've become comfortable in your compromise. Turn to him. Turn to him. He loves you. It's time to stop running, to turn to him, to the God that is good, that is this powerful, that is this gracious, this God worthy of our love, of our worship. A good God that you want to know today. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would do what only you can do, Lord. do a very real cleansing work in our hearts. And God, I go first. Show me, God, where I'm rationalizing sin, where I've become complacent. Show me, Lord, any area of my life that I'm running from you. And today, as you're praying, nobody looking around, if you're willing to pray that same prayer, God, show me where I'm rationalizing sin or where I'm running from you. Show me, God. If you're willing to pray that, if you would lift up your hands right now where I can see them, you're saying, God, show me. I see all your hands. I see all your hands. You can just say it in your head. You can whisper it. Show me. Show me, Lord, any area that I'm justifying, any area of disobedience to you, any place I'm running. And then just be quiet and listen. Be sensitive. Because if there's some area that's trying to, God's trying to bring up, and you just want to push it back down and say, no, 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 not that one, Lord, that is the one. That's the one you need to pay attention to. The word of the Lord is coming to you. God is going to speak to you. What are you going to do about it? Speak to us, Lord Jesus, and give us courage to obey. And as we keep praying today, I'm pretty certain there are some of you here and even online, maybe that are kind of like the sailors. The sailors, they kind of pray in times of need, but they didn't really know God intimately. And they found themselves in this place of needing help. And when they saw the goodness and the reality and the power of the one true God, they were like, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. I want that God. I want to tell you about that God. That God is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And one day, every knee is going to bow to him and every tongue will confess the lordship of his son, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of a loving God. God so loved the world. Loved. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, calls on him, wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. Not because we're good, but because he's that good. It's his will, his desire, his heart that no one would suffer and perish. And our God is revealing himself to you. And I know there's those of you today, you're like, yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, I go to church sometimes. You're not fully in. And all of a sudden you realize this is God. I want that God. I want to know him today. If that's you and you recognize that you don't know him, that you're not walking with him, that you don't have his peace, maybe you don't know where you stand with him, today's your day to say yes. And when you call on the name of Jesus, God will hear your prayer. He will forgive all of your sins and he will make you brand new. If that's you and you're saying, I'm ready, I need it. A God like that is a God I want to know. You just lift your hands right now where I can see them. No one looking around. I see your hands. I see your hands. Thank you for being vulnerable. just pray this prayer. And at Joy Church, nobody ever prays alone, so we don't ever want you to be alone. We're going to all pray together. Heavenly Father, I trust you. A God like you is a God I want to know. I want to worship. I commit to serve. Jesus, forgive my sins. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. I trust you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can serve you always. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we celebrate with you today. We give God honor. He is a good God. He is a good God. You, like I said before, buckle up your seatbelts. Those of you who just gave your life to him for the first time, you are in for a ride. Next week, be back, because we want to see what happens to Jonah as he's in the fish's belly. And we're going to see God as the God of second chances. We love you all. God loves you all. And there's nothing you can do about it, and the very best is yet to come. Have a great Sunday.